Let's take the Comcast Business Hotline and join Tim McMahon is live from Washington right now. T-Mac, what's going on, man?
What's going on, boys? Apologies, the grub line just started cracking up behind me, so I'll have to shout over him. But Happy New Year to everybody. What's going on?
Is the cheerleaders next to him?
I've seen some cheerleaders around here.
I've seen a few.
Tim, Happy New Year to you too as well, man. And of course, big game for the Birds today, and we know the approach is go out there and get that win and let everything that needs to happen in Chicago happen. So what's the latest that you can give us on the Birds getting ready for this game this afternoon?
Yeah, well, there's good news on the injury front for the Eagles. There is four guys that came in listed as questionable: Michael Bennett, Jordan Hicks, Jason Kelce, and Jason Peters. All four of them are active for this game, and we just heard Jason talking about Peters. He's been somebody that's been hopping in and out of the lineup, and there's a difference between playing the whole game and starting, but it does look like Jason Peters is going to give it a go and start this one.
Tim, I'm going to make it real easy for you. Is there anywhere on this football field today where Washington is superior to the Eagles and it could help them win the football game?
You know, not too many areas, Bob. I think I think you're accurate. I mean, this is one that the Eagles absolutely should have. And I think that, you know, in particular, where they've been getting stronger is along the offensive and defensive front over the last couple of weeks. And, you know, so they're certainly winning those matchups right now pretty much against every team that they've gone up against. And I would even say the secondary, as we know, has been shaky with all the injuries that have gone on. But Jim Schwartz feeling pretty good about the way that his substitutes have come in and sort of stabilized, especially someone like Cravon LeBlanc gets picked up off the street, and this helps solidify that slot corner position for these guys. So maybe you can pick a matchup or two that Washington is superior in, but they've been hit so hard by injury. We think the Eagles are bad. The Eagles have 13 guys on IR. Compare that to like 24 for Washington, and of course it hit their quarterback position hard as well. So the Eagles certainly favorable matchups all across the board.
Yo, Tim, can you put into words to describe for the fans how good Adrian Peterson has been playing these last couple of weeks for his age?
Well, the way that Peterson put it is probably best, Jay, where he said, if you don't think I have a lot of high productive years ahead of me, you haven't been paying attention. It's unbelievable, man. This guy, as we know, has been able to accomplish things at a crazy level and overcome things. Like, you think of the way that he bounced back from his ACL, like superhuman fast. He continues to churn it out, and it's been one of the rare bright spots for Washington that an otherwise kind of bleak and dismal year. You know, he's added some juice to. I mean, he can still do it at a really high level, and that's one thing that the Eagles are going to have to pay attention to is, yeah, there is a guy by the name of Josh Johnson playing quarterback. And, yeah, it looks like on paper that they should be able to win this one pretty handily. But you don't want to get Adrian Peterson going, that's for sure.
Tim McMahon is joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline live from Washington. Of course, the site of Eagles. Washington today, 4:25 kickoff. With Tim, not only are we paying attention to this one, we're also paying attention to Chicago and Minnesota, as well as the 49ers and the Rams. But we also cannot have a conversation without getting into the Nick Foles thing and him being under center this afternoon. So, last week, only 21 carries from the Eagles, still being able to come away with the win 32-30 against the Houston Texans. But do we feel like maybe last week, with all the passes that he did make 49, are we looking for more of a balanced game, or is that really dictated on how the game is played out, at least at going towards the end of the game?
Yeah, well, especially over the last handful of weeks, Devon, Doug Peterson has tried to make a conscientious effort to establish a ground game and stick with it. And I think that even though it's really what matters, but I think, even if he would look back, he probably want to establish a little bit more of a ground game even in that win. So that's something that they are going into each and every game of late in particular trying to do. And I think that it is absolutely true for this one in Washington as well. And Foles handled himself brilliantly, as we know, NFC Offensive Player of the Week, 471 yards. That's a new franchise record for air yards. And he got it done. But I think, yes, they would like to have a more balanced attack in this one. They really feel like that's more of the identity of this football team. Makes everything easier for everybody, so they'll try to get that done today.
T Tim, we talked about this a little bit before, but now that you've seen even more of it, what has Darren Sproles meant to this offense, and how much of what could have been creeps into your mind when you see what he's done the last few weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's everybody is focusing on Foles, and that's understandable. I mean, he has created a huge boost for this offense. But you can't look past what a 35-year-old Darren Sproles has done to inject life into the run game and into the offense overall. I mean, there's just, you know, to have that presence in big moments, who can come up. And if you just think of the swing pass that he takes for a touchdown, refuse to be denied, you know, that's something that in a way had been missing. So, you know, and it rises above that with Sproles. There's some kind of level of respect that he commands, that helps when his presence is there to help lift all of the ships. So he has been a major reason. And yeah, I mean, there's a couple guys that have been missing that if they were present, you know, a couple of these really tight losses could have ended up in the other direction and the Eagles wouldn't be fighting for their lives today. That's just kind of the way it broke for this team in 2018.
Can you talk about the receiver core? And how happy they have to be with being a part of the game plan again, because Nick Foles is spreading around and you're down there in the locker room. How is their body language? How is their camaraderie because of, you know, the newfound wealth of targets?
I think you nailed it. As we know, this offense last year, when it was at its best, is whether it was Wentz or Foles, really spreading the ball around and making everybody feel like they're a part of it. And that slipped away a little bit with Wentz really targeting Zach Ertz. And listen, I mean, you can't really blame him for doing it, because it's not like he was forcing the ball. And if you look at the completion percentage when Ertz has been targeted, it's been very high, so you understand where it was coming from. But at the same time, you could see that everybody started taking off a little bit when they were getting fed a little bit more. And we heard some of the grumblings through anonymous sources about Ertz getting targeted too much. And you don't necessarily see the same type of bounce in the offense when it's so one-dimensional. And so I think that has been pretty big. And you can see it. I mean, and you're right to point it out. You can see it in the body language of this group that they are feeling a little bit more rejuvenated of late now that they're getting targeted more.
Tim, what I know about Josh Johnson is that he's a decent running quarterback. After that,
all right.
I know absolutely nothing about Josh Johnson. So why don't you give us a little heads up of what we might see today?
Yeah, a journeyman quarterback with a few opportunities that does get to use his legs. And you will see that. You know, if he gets 7-8 rushes, that wouldn't be out of the ordinary. He is up and down in terms of throwing production. I mean, he can make some throws, but I think last week, as an example, it was like a little bit over 50% completion rate. And so you don't expect him to carve you apart. But at the same time, you don't want to take any NFL quarterback lightly. And I think this fan base can go back to the Joe Webb game for evidence of that. And you don't want a Josh Johnson game. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, all of these guys at this level are competent. It's, you know, the Eagles should be able to put pressure on him. And if they can keep him in his lane, then they should be able to bottle up this offense by and large. But you have to make sure that what the fan base has been doing all week is not what the team has been doing all week. And that is, all right, take this one for granted and what's happening between the Bears and the Vikings. I mean, you have to make sure you take care of your business. And, you know, that includes not overlooking an opponent that doesn't have many reps on tape and doesn't have a whole lot of cachet to his name.
And Tim McManus again, live from Washington, ESPN.com and 97.5 Fnac on the Comcast Business Hotline. Tim, report out there, of course, Carson Wentz not active today, not playing against the Washington football squad. Nick Foles under center report earlier that the CT scan will be checked, of course, and you guys have been reporting on this anyway, so just to double back. CT scan could be done at the end of the season. And if the Eagles are going to make it to the postseason after things play out today, what are the chances that we do at least have an opportunity to have the conversation about Wentz being available?
I think that they are going to continue to check. I think that, you know, there is a desire on Wentz's side to keep the possibility open that he plays this year. I know that he really wants to play. He's feeling, from my understanding, better now than he was in October. The symptoms have gotten better, even though the fracture was discovered late, if that makes sense. So he certainly wants to get back out there, and the fact that he's not on IR lets you know that they are at least entertaining the possibility of him getting back out there. That being said, you really have to take a long-term view when it comes to your franchise quarterback, and they would have to feel 100% certain that nothing could go wrong by putting Wentz in the game as opposed to letting him heal for, you know, Peterson put 3 months, whatever number you want to put at, just make sure that he's good to go for next season and for the rest of his career. So I would still say, yeah, I think that this is going to be Nick Foles' show for as long as this thing goes, whether it ends today, whether it goes another game or two, whatever the case may be. I feel like it's going to be Foles, but I think there's going to continue to be exploratory things going on to see if Wentz is healing, to see what it looks like, to make sure that no stone is unturned, to see if Wentz can get back in there. But I feel ultimately it'll be Wentz on ice until 2019 just to play conservatively.
Yeah. Hey, Tim. The last game could go on to the playoffs. What do you do with Nelson Aguilar? Has he deserved an extension? What do you do going forward? You brought in Golden Tate. There's a bunch up in the air. What do you do with Nelson Aguilar?
No, I think you keep him. You know, Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, called him an unsung hero recently, saying that he's been doing a lot of things on the field that haven't really shown up on the stat sheet. And then, of course, we saw him show up on the stat sheet in a really big way with that 80-plus yard touchdown in a big spot last week against Houston. If Golden Tate was playing out of his mind or had unseated Aguilar, we'd obviously be talking about a different conversation here. But Tate's been really quiet outside of one game. He's going to be a free agent at the end of the year. And depending on what his ticket price looks like, do you bring him back or not? But certainly the integration into the system hasn't been what they expected when they gave away a third-round pick for him. Aguilar, on the other hand, has not been as consistent as you would like over his career, but he does have some ability and certainly some familiarity with Groh and in this system. And so you have him under contract for that fifth-year option next year. And so, while I don't think it's a slam dunk decision, I think probably the smartest, given all the factors, the smartest play might be to keep Aguilar for next year.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.